You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Welcome to the Earth Station MCU podcast, your home for all things related to the Marvel Cinematic Universe, including Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Agent Carter, The Avengers, Guardians of the Galaxy, and so much more. Visit us at our Facebook group, Earth Station MCU, at earthstationmcu.wordpress.com, or email us at earthstationmcu@gmail.com. Hello, Marvel Universe. My name is Jennifer Hartshorn, and welcome back to another episode of Earth Station MCU. We've missed you. We haven't seen you for a couple of weeks out there, but they took a little bit of time off for Thanksgiving, and we're covering two episodes this week. So I'm very excited and glad to be back with Mr. John Raven.
Man, you keep calling me Mister. It makes me feel old.
I'm sorry. It's a habit I got into as a teacher that I could never remember students' names, so I would always call them sir and ma'am and stuff. It's just sorry. So
I'm gonna start doing that to you, make you feel old.
Mrs. Hartshorn. Like yeah, no. Fair enough. So how are you doing?
I'm doing fine. You know, it's the holidays, and we, you know, at work just got crazy from coming back from Thanksgiving up until about Wednesday.
Uh-huh.
So I've actually been able to slow down and get some things accomplished over the last couple of days.
Oh, good, good. Very, very cool. I just finished up my latest round of teaching, and this week I've been dealing with all of the unhappy students who don't like the grade that they're getting and fielding all of those things. So that's been a little bit stressful.
Well, too bad, suckers.
You know, there are so many things that I would like to say, and yet I try to be a good person and not do that. But
well, since it's not my teaching career on the line, can I say
that? Fair enough. But yeah, so hopefully, if all goes according to plan, I will have some non-teaching work to do in the new year, and hopefully that will give me more time to do do podcasting and other fun stuff like that. So yay! So lots of new stuff on the horizon. So that's pretty cool. Yes. So we've had quite a bit of news again as usual. Some of it's rumors still. Mm-hmm. Some of it's for sure stuff. One of the late breaking things today, but they've got it in the Hollywood Reporter. So I'm going to go ahead and say it's not just a rumor. Is that Kate Blanchett is going to be in Thor?
Yes, we've been seeing that all over the place the last couple of days. There's no official word about who mm-hmm. she's playing, but I think the odds-on favorite for her is probably mm-hmm. Hela.
And who's that?
Hela, who is the... She is basically the goddess of the afterlife in Norse mythology, and she is sometimes an antagonist for Thor. Sometimes, since she is part of the pantheon mm-hmm. of Norse gods, she is also can be an ally to Thor. But usually has her own motivations. It's kind of like anytime you see Hades portrayed right. in popular culture, like he's either a bad guy or he's a guy with his own motivations.
Right. And with it being Ragnarok, if she's, you know, the goddess of the afterlife then or death, then that's definitely going to make sense.
Right. And of course, that was part of Thor's vision from mm-hmm. Age of Ultron was mm-hmm. hell.
That mm-hmm. is correct. So yeah, that will be cool. Obviously, I think she's an amazing actress, and I think she will fit right in, and I think she'll do a great job. So hopefully
absolutely.
That's what's going on with that. We've got a showrunner for Iron Fist, and totally my fault. I reposted something without reading the full article through, and the title was actually something like Marvel has found its Iron Fist, and so it sounded like they'd cast an actor. And it turned out, no, it's actually just the...
No, they're really teasing us with that one. It's like, we're gonna get everybody. We're going to get the showrunner. We're yep. going to get the directors. We're going to get writers. Then they're going to tell us who's playing
right,
Iron
right,
Fist.
Right, exactly.
At this rate, I think we're going to hear about all the side characters before we actually hear about Iron Fist.
That may be, but it sounds like this guy, the guy who's going to be their showrunner, had worked on Dexter and 6 Feet Under and stuff.
Yep.
So he seems like somebody who would definitely get it.
And he's definitely a guy with a fan base.
Awesome, yeah. So that will be cool. Of course, that's coming. Was that like the end of next year? I guess late 2016.
I think that's going to be late 2016 because we've got to get through Daredevil season 2 is next, and then Luke Cage, and then Iron Fist.
So that'll be cool. And we've got some writers lined up for Ant-Man and the Wasp, which is cool. The last one was, it started out being written by
Edgar Wright and I'm trying to remember his name. The guy who did Attack the Block.
But yeah, Edgar Wright, and then what was the guy who ended up directing it did a lot of rewrites on it, I believe.
It wasn't him so much as it was Paul Rudd and Adam McKay did a bunch of the rewrites and added a bunch of material to it. And they actually they're credited in a lot of ways with fleshing out Wright's original script.
Yeah, I remember an interview with Corey Stoll saying that he loved it because in the new version of it, there was so much more depth to his character. I'm like, did you have any lines in the original version?
And, I mean, they pretty much said the same thing about Hope. Yeah. Hope was much more kind of two-dimensional than she ended up being in the final draft.
Well, they're now reporting that Andrew Barrier and Gabriel Ferrari are going to be working with Paul Rudd on the script, and that Adam McKay is going to kind of oversee it. So,
you know, one of the first reports I saw of this like didn't include Rudd's name, and it's like it just talked about Barrier, Ferrari, and McKay, and like is Rudd not coming back to write it? He's just going to be in it, but
yeah, it sounds like he's going to be fully on board with the writing, and of course Peyton Reed's going to be directing, and it sounds like it sounds like everybody has signed back on as far as I can tell. Of the main people, but we haven't really heard any details about, you know, other than it's going to include Hope, what it's going to be really covering. But
and you know, we talk about writers and directors. You know, the rumor that's still being floated around is that we may finally be getting a director for Black Panther soon.
And I don't think we got anything that's sounding firm yet.
Nothing concrete. The only thing I think that has been confirmed is that Ryan Coogler is talking to Marvel. And I think he's maybe the third or fourth person they've approached. But if he signs on, he's going to be a really solid choice. I mean, we're talking about the guy who directed Fruitvale Station and who did Creed that came out just a couple weeks ago.
And that's
ago.
Getting really, really good press. I think it's actually was nominated for a bunch of SAG Awards and whatnot, so
it's not surprising. And you know, it's Creed is Sylvester Stallone's first Golden Globe
nomination.
I know.
Well, he's gotten to be a much better actor over the last 30 years or so.
He's actually a very smart guy.
Oh, yeah.
I think he plays dumb to the point where people think he actually is.
But you know, Rocky was not he was that was not, you know, Laurence Olivier.
Yeah. No, but I mean, hey, the man walked home with an Oscar for it.
Yes,
so.
Absolutely.
anyway, we're just getting back to the subject of Marvel movies.
Yes, indeed. Another thing that's come out in the last couple of days is people, of course, what we had been hearing for a long time was that Infinity War was where we were going to get the new Avengers, the old Avengers, and the Defenders and the Guardians of the Galaxy. But Russo is kind of Anthony Russo is kind of backpedaling on that. They've got an interview with him in Screen Rant, and he says that if they were going to include the Netflix heroes, that would be quote unquote complicated.
Yeah, no, he didn't say impossible. Right. It's just one of those things that we kind of feared from the split between Marvel TV and Marvel films is that. You know, Kevin Feige, now that he's under he's out from under Ike Perlmutter's thumb. Doesn't sound like he wants to deal with Ike anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, although it seems kind of, well, on one level, it seems kind of silly because you've got the Netflix series are doing so incredibly well. You know, the stuff on ABC is doing well, but man, you know, Jessica Jones and Daredevil are making a bunch of people's like top 10 best TV shows of the year lists, and they're really getting a lot of acclaim for that. So on the one hand, it seems like it would be good for both sides to have that cross promotion. But to me, the biggest thing is just that you've got people like Vision and Thor and, you know, and Iron Man on the one hand, and then you've got Phil Coulson and Luke Cage and Daredevil and Jessica Jones, and they're not on the same level.
Right. Well, I mean, never say never, because they could always end up working something out. I think one of the only other concerns that you really need for a movie like Infinity Wars is if you jam it with too many characters, nobody gets any screen time, or nobody gets any worthwhile screen time.
And that was even, you know, even starting to get to be a problem with Age of Ultron. With just having so many characters, and not just like the main characters, you also had, you know, trying to shoehorn in Ulysses Claw and things like that. So
yeah, and I think the Russos made it work, so they could probably make this work too. And you know, we could see a little bit of Coulson and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It might be just, you know, like a blink and you'll miss it sort of moment. We might, if Thanos invades the Earth, we may see the Defenders kind of defending Hell's Kitchen for a bit.
But I mean, what are they going to do against Thanos?
You know, we're probably not going to see them.
We're talking about cosmic level bad guys at that point. Cosmic level good guys and bad guys.
I think if we get them, we're not going to see them as a significant part of the movie, but we might get them in there as a cameo.
Sure.
Which will still be good to tie this universe together.
But, you know, on the other hand, you can also look at it as, you know, if they're going to have Black Widow and Hawkeye and Nick Fury in with the super high level people, you know, they're I mean, I think that, you know, Coulson and Black Widow and Ward for that matter, and a lot of the Defenders people, you know, they're pretty much on par with the, you know, people that are they're people, but they're very 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 good at what they do.
So
I don't know. We'll see. I think it would.
And you know, if there's another world invasion, everybody's going to be pretty busy.
Right. Absolutely. But yeah, that'll be interesting to see. You know, it seems like with them taking Infinity War and making two whole movies out of it, it seems like they could do like one that crosses over with Guardians and one that crosses over with some of the more low level heroes. But
yeah,
it's not my call.
I mean, they could be the first people to actually make a two-part movie really work. I think is what we've seen with Harry Potter and Deathly Hallows and Mockingjay Part 1 is that, you know, all your action gets shoved into Part 2. So Part 1 ends up being kind of a lot of exposition, dialogue, how do we get here? And it ends up being slightly boring compared to the second part.
Not to mention, you know, seeing The Hobbit, which was, you know, a small book to begin with, get stretched out into three movies.
There are
certainly some things that they will want to learn from and avoid if they're going to be doing that well.
And not to mention, I mean, we do have things happening in between Part 1 and Part 2. And we do have movies going on in between Part 1 and Part 2. So there is going to be a break.
Now, is I think Captain Marvel's coming out in between, right?
I believe so, yeah. I think Black Panther might be as well.
So yeah, so there's definitely going to be stuff introduced there. We've also had a couple of trailers come out. One being, I think we touched on this last time, the Agent Carter trailer, because I remember now that I'm looking at it, I remember that I think we mentioned the fact that Peggy has a new hat.
Yeah, I do believe we did, and I think I talked about Jarvis's umbrella and his ties some more.
Yeah, I'm getting myself mixed up into what we've talked about and what we haven't. But yeah, it's looking great. It looks like, you know, they're definitely, you know, carrying over the tone of it and everything, which is great. And it's interesting because I've seen I've been talking with a lot of people about just the enormous number of really good comic book inspired shows on right now, and talking with people about the differences between Flash and Arrow. And I'm an MCU girl, but I definitely do like some of the TV shows. And it's very much, you know, like, even though those two shows are in the same world, it's sort of like Agent Carter and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Agent Carter is much, it's got its dark stuff, but it's a pretty lighthearted show overall. You know that everyone's gonna be okay at the end of it.
Except you know, when you get to the moment where an entire theater full of people kill
Well,
each other.
there is that. They did have that Kingsman moment there. But yeah, I think.
And but you get that at one end of the spectrum, and then at the other end of the spectrum, you have Jessica
Right,
Jones.
exactly. So yeah, I think it'll be. I'm really looking forward to Jessica Jones coming out. But the big thing, of course, is I hate it when you have no idea when this is coming. But a couple weeks ago, everybody started hearing, oh, Chris Evans is going to be on Jimmy Kimmel, and oh yeah, well, it sounds like Robert Downey Jr. is going to be there too. Oh, and this person, and this person. It started going, wait,
What could
what
this
does this
mean?
mean? And sure enough, that was when we got the Civil War trailer, and has a lot of people very excited.
I was really hoping that they were going to wait and release it with The Force Awakens, but I'm sure, and I'm sure it'll still be
Oh,
with that
sure, yeah.
movie. I think it just would have been like a nice treat for everybody who was going on Thursday night. But Marvel works in mysterious ways, and we're along for the ride.
So, what highlights can you give us from things that you were excited about with the trailer?
The fights are one thing, and especially when you take this movie into account that it's not so much just a physical battle, but it's an ideological battle. It seems that Tony has matured a little bit and seen the error of his ways of collateral damage, and creating a murder bot might require a little bit more government
Indeed, yep.
oversight. Meanwhile, Captain America is still coming off of the events of Winter Soldier and is incredibly distrusting of having any government entity telling him what to do after S.H.I.E.L.D. was massively infiltrated by Hydra. And who's to say that couldn't
Well,
happen
and not to
again?
mention the fact that it wasn't just Shield. It was they showed that it was, you know, the US government in general what had been infiltrated, so.
And not to mention, I mean, if we look at these past few episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Gideon Malik, we know, has his hands in just about every major secret spy organization in the
Right, because
world.
he was on the World Security Council.
Which, the thing I noticed, or I thought about today is, you'll notice in Winter Soldier, he's the only member of the World Council not there when Pierce is making his "You'll go along with what I
Yeah,
want,
that's
or I
true.
will electrocute all of you."
'Cause he kind of had the heads up.
At least we can
Yeah,
assume that
yeah.
now.
No, that's very cool.
And other than that, I think one of the big "oh my God" moments was seeing Black Panther for the first time. It was like,
Yes.
it looks amazing! And they've actually released a high-res image of his costume this week, so you
That's gonna
can
be what.
take a look at that and all the intricate designs in it, so it's not just kind of
A wash of black,
a black bodysuit.
yeah. So that'll be the new hotness maybe next year at Dragon Con.
There'll be something worth seeing. And we got a lot of General Ross as well. So we know he's going to be a big part of the movie, and he's going to be kind of the one helping to push the Sokovia Accords along and trying to get Cap to accept them.
Now, we still
And
haven't gotten very much of Martin Freeman.
we have not. There were several things, of course, missing from this trailer that we did not get to see. Martin Freeman being one of them, the Vision being another. we didn't really get to see much of Wanda. And I think one major thing that everybody was pointing out after the trailer premiered was no
Right.
Spider-Man.
I hope they keep that for a surprise. 'Cause I'm one of these people I'm sick of having all the good stuff given away in the trailer.
I don't have to see anything significant. I just want to see kind of what he looks like. I mean, even if we don't see the final outfit, but we see kind of his
Sure.
initial outfit.
Or hear the voice or whatever. Some kind of a touch on that would be good, definitely. So yeah, so that's we're starting to get stuff about that. Although it's been weirding me out because another story that has been all over the news the last couple of weeks is Hulk is not going to be in Captain America, and it's like didn't we figure that out in like July? It seems like that's
Yeah, I
not
mean, they already
news.
said his stuff was his cut from the
Right,
movie.
right. But for some reason it went through a resurgence and I was seeing tons of stories about it this week and it's like,
Sometimes
didn't we already know that?
sometimes I have friends who will discover a piece of news 2 months
Right.
later, think it's fresh, and start reposting it. It becomes like Jeff Goldblum and the right stuff where you have to go, yes, we know,
Yes.
sit down.
Yes, or Harry Jones on Doctor Who. Yes, we know who you are. Yep. Okay, cool. Oh yeah, and the other thing that was I just caught just before we were going to air was something about Luke Cage, and they're starting to we're starting to get some photos from the set and some more plot details and stuff. And
It's exciting stuff. It's
Yeah.
exciting stuff. I love seeing it. We haven't seen anybody from Daredevil or Jessica Jones pop up yet, but of course we know Claire Temple
Right.
is going to be in it. So we've seen pictures of her with Luke.
Yep. And I think Misty Knight, does that? That was another one.
Yes, Misty Knight is another character who hangs around with them, and she's been a part of Heroes for Hire. She's even led Heroes for Hire, which was a group that Luke Cage and Iron Fist
Cool.
were a part of, which is almost kind of what this version of the Defenders is in a way. But she is a main character throughout that group and its involvement, and she is kind of like a coordinator as well.
It sounds like our main bad guy is going to be Cornell Cottonmouth Stokes. And they've got they're describing him as a Harlem nightclub owner and an unexpected foe in Luke's life when his criminal activities threaten Luke's world. So that sounds like that could be very cool. I as excited as I am for the other series, I kind of feel like it's gonna be very, very hard to top Kingpin and Kilgrave, 'cause they're just as bad guys. They have just been so superlative, but.
Yes, and that's certainly true. So I don't know, it gives me hope for how awesome this is going to be. Yeah, because Cottonmouth is kind of one of those more minor characters from the comics. I mean, he's a bad guy for Luke Cage, but if you don't really know Luke Cage, you don't
Right.
really know him. Oh, it's just because he's not really a big bad anywhere. He showed up in Luke Cage comics in the 70s and a little bit scattered out throughout here and there, but he's never been a larger Marvel threat. He's never crossed over and threatened other
Cool.
characters. And of course we have Alfred Woodard, who is Maria Dillard, and in the comics she was like a gang leader herself, so maybe she's pulling Cottonmouth's strings, maybe she's working with him, and the whole politician thing is just an act, almost in the way that Wilson Fisk attempted to use that in Daredevil.
Yeah, I was one of the things I'm looking at was saying that she might be playing Black Mariah, which would definitely be pretty cool.
Which is pretty much it was it's Maria Dillard's criminal name is Black Maria.
Very cool. And yeah, we've got Theo Rossi from Sons of Anarchy playing Shades, which is another bad guy in Luke Cage. Rosario Dawson's coming back, of course. And yeah, cool. So lots of really cool stuff there. And this week we also had Ant-Man finally come out on DVD, and I know you picked that up. So
Yes.
what can you tell us about that?
I did, and it's a pretty excellent DVD. I went and bought the 3D Blu-ray version, because even though I don't have 3D, it still comes with the regular Blu-ray. It also came with access to Disney Movies Anywhere, which is Disney's online
Cool.
digital platform, where if you buy the movie and they give you the code, you can get onto their website and watch it on any device that you've
Nice.
got. They also threw in, specially for their digital version, a little preview for Phase 3, which is kind of some of the videos that we've seen already about Doctor Strange and about Civil War, that they've talked about, and they've kind of released just the little bits of videos here and there. This one actually puts it all together, so you get a little image going forward of everything that's going to happen with Civil War, with Thor Ragnarok, with Doctor Strange and Black Panther. And if you ordered the Phase 2 box set for an ungodly amount of money, then you also got a special little video that talks about the stingers, or the after credit scenes, and how those came about, and what they did for each of them. And my favorite bit is just finding out that Kevin Feige did this primarily because he remembers those after credit scenes in the movies that he watched growing up, like in Ferris Bueller's Day Off,
Are you still here?
when the bar Yeah, when and when the principal is getting gets the ride from the bus after he looks like he's been through hell, or Masters of the Universe, when you find out that Skeletor survived. Spoiler alert, guys.
That's very cool. Yeah.
So this was kind of like Feige's idea of rewarding an audience for staying all the way
That's
through the
awesome.
credits.
Well, he definitely has succeeded because there are millions of people who will sit there, and I'm glad that.
And yet there are still people who will leave before
That's
it's over.
fine. That's fine. They're welcome to. It means less people for us to wade through in the parking lot when we get out, right? But
I guess so.
yeah, very cool. Very cool. And I think that's about all we've got for news for this week, right?
Think
Okay,
so.
cool. Well, then we are going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking about two episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., both Closure and the season finale, Malveth.
I thought it was Mavis.
And the season finale, Maveth.
Welcome to Myobi Defend Your Childhood, the podcast where every week we put a little bit of your past on trial. Wait, you don't know who we are? Well, fine. First, we take a movie that you like. You know the ones. The ones the buses always had on field trips.
We got a real jam going down. Welcome to the Space Jam.
The afternoon animated show tie-in. Or the ones your parents didn't want you to see, but you watched at a sleepover. So that's the game. The movies are 10 years old and the defendant hasn't seen them in 5. Then
We're here to talk about The Sandlot. When I was a kid, I wasn't allowed to play with the other children, so this is how I learned human interaction.
Ask them what they think.
Obviously, I remembered earwigs, because as soon as my parents found out that I was deathly afraid of parasites, they were like, let's show her Wrath of Khan.
So, in the end, does your past hold up? Can you defend your childhood? Tune in every Thursday to find out.
You gotta ask yourself one question, punk.
What the hell is a cigar nerd?
Welcome to the Cigar Nerds Podcast.
It's the only show where two guys smoke cigars and talk about nerd culture.
Do you like movies, games, comics, sci-fi, pop culture, and beer?
Do you like science, nerd news, explosions for no apparent reason?
Then this is the show for you.
It's like being in a nerdy cigar shop, but for your ears.
Check us out at CigarNerdPodcast.com.
Welcome back, Marvel Universe. And now we are going to talk about the last two episodes of season 3A for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. We have Closure, which doesn't actually give us that much closure, and then we have the mid-season finale. So, man, where do you want to start?
Oh, wow. Well, I mean, it's good that we're doing both of these together because they tie very closely to one another.
Yes.
How about that shocker at the beginning of Closure?
Absolutely. That was something that I honestly didn't predict things real well in that second episode, but in that one, as soon as she and Phil sat down at the dining room table, I just went, oh god, I've seen too many Whedon movies and shows. This is about to go horribly, horribly wrong.
Yeah, I think I went off with you about, like, the Whedons just can't let anybody be happy.
No, and there were just so many things, like they were finally getting down to sit down and have hamburgers like they were going to that first time, and there was this cute romantic banter, and like everyone, a whole bunch of people who watched it, including I think both of us, you know, posted the thing about her saying, "You're such a Luddite," and he's like, "You know I have a flying car, right?" She says, "Yeah, it's from the 60s." And it was just cute banter and everything, and you knew that it was about to go horribly, horribly wrong.
Anytime everything seems all lovey-dovey in a Whedon show, it means bad things are going to happen.
Yeah, and I was looking at one of the reviews from it, and I had heard this term before, but it actually made me go and look up. Have you heard of the women in refrigerators trope?
Yes, I'm well-versed in it.
Yes. Exactly, and the idea that to motivate the guy hero to do something, that you have to do something terrible to the female character, and we saw that, you know, with Robin there, and to some degree we also saw it later in that episode where to get Fitz to agree to go through the portal, Ward doesn't torture him. He has his minion torture Simmons.
Yeah, because, of course, obviously Ward knows where Fitz's weak point is, and it's more of a...
Right.
It's more of a weak point for him than it is for her.
I agree. So that's... On the one hand, you know, I'm like, well, is that disappointing? But to a certain degree, that's just classic storytelling. Mm-hmm. But definitely it got the reaction that he wanted to out of Phil, and Phil completely lost it.
And it does happen on the reverse as well. You can almost have dudes in refrigerators, although it happens much, much less frequently.
Right.
We see it
exactly.
In Jessica Jones when it's basically revealed that the Purple Man's been messing with Luke and been messing with her roommate.
Right.
Well, not her roommate,
but we're not going to go into detail on that because we're going to have a show on that, and I don't want to spoil it for anyone who might not have seen it yet. But no, you're absolutely right.
But yes, the women in refrigerators thing does happen a lot more for women than it does for men.
Right. But yeah, so Ward pretty much gets exactly what he was going for and causes Coulson to completely lose it.
And it's one of those things where, you know, don't make me angry. You might not be so glad that you did.
Yeah.
Because they immediately, you know, go after his brother Thomas.
Right. Although I didn't, that was interesting because I didn't really expect that Ward was going to have that much of a reaction to it.
Well, yeah.
It seemed like he had just, I mean, because he hadn't had, as far as we could tell, he hadn't had a lot of contact with his brother.
And we saw why.
Right, and that he's just so emotionally deadened at this point that I didn't think it was going to have any effect.
Well, we've seen in the past that he was very protective of his brother, and that he said, you know, he was made to hurt his brother by his older brother. And of course, mm-hmm. we come to find out that that's all a story made up in Grant's mind that mm-hmm. to justify mm-hmm. his actions
to justify
himself as the hero.
Yep.
By making things out to be worse than he was, and he was then he was actually himself responsible for what he did to Thomas, and he just used his brother as an excuse.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yep. So that causes Coulson, and I mean I think that carries across through both of these. He's not acting like a director. And at least he has the sense to officially pass the baton to Mac, but at the same time, I assume that when he comes back, he's going to go back to being the director.
Maybe.
So.
I mean, in Moffat, we saw him do some pretty dark stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Especially when it comes to crushing Ward's chest with his mechanical hand.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, there are an awful lot of things that happen, especially in that second episode, where, but also in the first one, where I just felt it was kind of sloppy writing, because it's like, well, why did this happen this way? Because it needed to for plot reasons. You know, like why did Fitz and Simmons go off on a mission with just Banks? I mean, it seemed like, is that really a smart idea, given
Banks
everything that's going on?
And, you know, of course, it looks like for a second that he killed the other people on the mission with them, but it was really,
right.
You know, Chairman Kaga. I'm sorry.
Right, exactly.
I think his name is.
Yep. I can't remember what his character's name is, Mark DeCastros, but and it was very funny, because I know you watched the episode like a day later than I did, and you texted me, you were like, so is Banks on the team now? And I'm like, not exactly.
Like, afterwards, like, oh, never mind.
Exactly. It's like, he's not on the team for very long.
It's a shame. It's like, now everybody who was part of the ATCU who was actually friendly with them is dead.
Right, exactly. Not that there were a lot of people to begin with.
That's Rosalind and Banks.
Yeah, they were really the only named characters. You know, chalk it up to another institution that was completely infiltrated by Hydra.
Right.
Yeah, you can sort of understand why they have.
Sorry.
That's it. Yep. Why they have some trust issues there, but yeah, another thing that you mentioned, Coulson crushing Ward's chest. I really did not understand why he didn't just cap Ward as soon as he saw him.
Because basically, Ward was like, "You need me to help you find Fitz. Otherwise, you're never going to find him."
I guess.
Coulson was like, okay, I'll kill you later.
Right. And he did, to be fair, he did shoot him in the arm then. But yeah, when that happened, I was, to their credit, I was very much in the moment and just not analyzing when I was watching the mid-season finale there. But after the fact, I was like, oh, that's why he ended up crushing his chest, because that way Brett Dalton still gets to look cute. You know, that's why he didn't shoot him in the head or something.
Because of course we've got to see him at the end, and he's got to have a perfectly good face for that thing to slither around inside him.
Right, and, exactly.
I did find the correct pronunciation right before we started recording, so it is Maveth.
Maveth. Okay, cool. So, very,
you know,
cool.
The Hebrew word inscribed upon the castle for death, and it looks like now we have a greater understanding of what that means and why the sacrifice is, because the
right.
same needed bodies.
Right, and that they were sacrifices, but that kind of gets down to what exactly is that being, and what is Ward now? Mm-hmm. And it seems like the first person that I saw bring this up was blanking on his name. Anyway, it's a friend of the show, somebody who posts on our boards a lot. But several people are now saying that it's Hive.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like that could work, but it would have to be kind of an adaptation of that. It's
like one of those inspired by sort of things.
Yeah, exactly. Because I don't think like he's actually like a seething mass of bugs or anything. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it would really make sense for him to like be able to send out, you know, minion symbiotes and then have them all be linked together.
Not to mention, I mean, Hive was a creation of Hydra, whereas It or Maveth or Death or whatever you want to call it, is has been described as an Inhuman.
Right, right. An Inhuman who, it sounds like, but specifically, not a corporeal Inhuman insofar as it yeah. seems like it's very much a symbiote that has to body hop.
It may have been at one time, but has since, you know, become this thing.
Yeah.
I don't know if you thought like I did when you saw it slither out of Will. It was like, mm-hmm. Master will do. immediately thought of the yeah. Doctor Who movies. Like, oh God, it's the same thing. They did. The
yes,
thing.
Yes. A number of people pointed that out with the 1996 Doctor Who movie. But people are also making
very far away.
Right, right. People are also drawing a Stargate parallel because the Goa'uld also were basically slugs oh, yeah. that would possess people. And on the other side of a Stargate, which looked very similar to the black shimmery portal, except that it was blue
yeah,
and shimmery.
The, you know, the big Hydra circle just sitting out in the middle of nowhere.
That was very cool. That was
yeah,
very
I did,
cool.
Like, also appreciate finding that ancient civilization. Kind of would be interesting if we got to know who they are at some point, or were.
Yeah, definitely. And I've read a bunch of interviews with different people on the show, including Brett Dalton, in the last couple of days. And to him, he feels like seeing that giant Hydra symbol sculpture out in the desert, that was like a turning point for Ward, where he finally found something that was bigger than him that he could dedicate his life to, and that he would be okay, sacrificing his life.
So
and
be a
if
part
that was
of something bigger,
yeah. right, exactly, a part of something bigger, maybe not in the way that he was thinking, but if that was their intent, I didn't really get that. I just saw him looking out at it and being like, "Huh, that's cool." It didn't feel like a momentous moment for me in watching it.
Yeah.
But that's the way that he was seeing it anyway. And again, this is something that a bunch of people have been talking about back and forth in the last couple of days. Do you think that it, when it takes the person over, it must be getting all of their memories, right? Because the not Will that right. was walking around through that episode was still had the memories of Will.
Yes.
Right?
It certainly seems that way. How much that they know might be a different question, but it mm-hmm. certainly seems to be able to get the memories of the people that it possesses. So it probably has Ward's memories as well, and we'll see that come back to kind of haunt Coulson and his crew.
Right, because that was one thing that I was thinking was that, and I think you and I talked about this, if he was, if Will got taken over by this critter, why did he go back and stay in Will's house?
Probably
I mean, on the one hand, you could say that he was expecting that people were going to come back and to trick them, but I think that could be part of it, but I think it's also because, that is the instincts of the body that he has just taken over, is I need to get to safety, I need to go where I feel
safe.
And I'm hoping that's the case, that this entity, it has its own aims and its own abilities and whatnot, but that we're still going to get to have
yes.
Ward. It's not just going to be a monster walking around in a Ward shell, because
he was wearing a Ward suit
exactly. but I mean, I've been talking with a bunch of people this week about whether or not they liked Ward, and most people, I mean, there are some people that are like, no, he's bad, you need to kill him off. But I think most people agree that he's a great character that you love to hate,
yes.
Because he's got history, and you understand, even though you know that he's wrong, you've got some investment in him. So I'm really, really hoping that he continues to be Ward, just being possessed by this other...
Even more evil than before.
Right, right. Although a good question was brought up, do you think that obviously the symbiote can leave the host after they're right. dead. Do you think that there's going to be any way that they could get it out of Ward?
I mean, that's certainly possible. Although Ward is likely still going to be dead afterwards.
Probably. I'm just thinking, you know, all the various science fiction things where you, like, you know, like you let the body go to, you know, clinically dead and it slithers out and then you can, you know, resuscitate the person or something
and
like
it
that.
Seems
but
to be able to possess the dead.
Right. But yeah, that definitely explains a lot of things that we saw previously in terms of, you know, the people going mad and killing mm-hmm. each other. Well, they weren't actually going crazy. They were getting possessed, apparently.
Yeah.
And I will admit, you know, back when we, you know, saw the original episode, I thought there was something very fishy about Will, and I thought he might have, you know, killed the other people or something. But somehow, it was a great enough episode that when I was watching it, I totally forgot the idea of Will having been possessed or something. Mm-hmm. So I was totally snowed when that happened. I did not see
that coming at all.
The
Wham line was, I was there.
What? Exactly.
Oh, crap.
What?
One of the other things I read was it possibly explains the smell isn't just Will hasn't bathed in a while. It's that Will's
true.
A rotting corpse.
Yes, absolutely. So it will be interesting to see if, you know, with Hydra modern medicine, if they can patch Ward up, you know, enough, because he's been shot twice and he's had his ribcage crushed
and,
in.
We've seen with Will, with not Will anyway, whatever wounds the body sustains stay that way with its possession.
Right. Unless there's some way of you know, like I said, that was certainly the case if left you know, untreated or something, but it's possible that, you know, back on Earth with, you know, modern science fiction Hydra technology, they might be able to patch him up.
You
know, at least, you know,
Hydra
remove the bullets or whatever.
Piece, don't you? Just,
I like my Hydra pretty boy, not gonna lie. I think he's pretty awesome.
I'm just kidding.
It's not bad. So do you think that Mac is a good director?
Yeah, you know, as one review I read put it, Mac hits a home run, you know, his mm-hmm. first day on the job, and he's given so much just put right in his lap that he's able to handle it and take care of things. And
yeah, I thought that was a great moment when he's like, okay, here's what we're going to do. You guys are going to go back. I'm going to stay here. And they're all like, well, what if we do this? And what if we do this? And he's like, no. What part of do this did you not understand?
Yeah, I'm in charge now.
But he wasn't a dick about it. He was just, you know, he was just taking charge of the situation.
Right.
And I thought that was great. I thought he did a great job.
Of course, when it gets too dangerous, you know, he's still... becomes like, okay, this is going to be my mission now. May, you're in charge if I don't get back.
Right. And that was very sane as well. Although she's not exactly a paragon of stability right now. But speaking of which, Lash/Andrew, I kind of did see that one coming. I'm glad that, you know, he did protect Simmons and he did stop
right.
the guys coming after her, but... not really shocked that he killed the other Inhumans, because
that's his nature.
That's what he does. Do you think that he can be redeemed in any way? Like could Lash become a part of the team, or is he always going to be like an uneasy ally kind of thing?
He's going to be more or less a force of nature, something that can mm-hmm. be reckoned with. And in the end, he's going to need to be put down, I think, for good.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I've seen some people speculating about, you know, is he going to rejoin the Inhumans part of the team? Because he seems to have gotten so he you know, has a grudging respect mm-hmm. for Daisy, at
yes,
least.
Yes, but he still has that problem of trying to kill Louis and Lincoln. And
yep,
as we've seen
that,
with, you
that's
know,
true.
Our first mission with the Secret Warriors now, that's probably not going to be good if you have to worry about the big guy trying to kill two of your teammates.
Well, yes, of course, of course. Joey did really well, though. I was very proud of him. He was very brave. He didn't know that he could stop bullets, but he still was willing to dive in front of Daisy.
I just love
his
excitement, first with melting the grate on the aqueduct, and then like, oh,
I know. Exactly. Exactly. And that's something that I think that the show needs is, you know, sort of like Hunter is can usually be relied on to have some good, you know, wisecracks and stuff like that. I like that we've got a guy who's excited and happy about
things. Yeah, it's quite the turnaround from, his initial discovery of being an Inhuman.
Right, which was very, you know, very emotional, very depressing.
And now he's come to terms with it and he's much happier with who he is.
Right, exactly. So I think that's most of any other things. So again, another thing that a lot of people have speculated on. So they get back to the base, and Phil is hugging May, and Fitz is hugging Simmons, and they sort of have a look. What do you think was going on with that look?
Wait, what, Fitz and Coulson's look?
Yeah.
I think it was kind of, obviously, since Fitz was there, he knows that Coulson killed Ward, but not everybody else knows about that yet. So whether that's something that Coulson keeps to himself or between him and Fitz, and or whether Coulson tells everybody and, you know, has to deal with the repercussions of, you killed him, blah, 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 blah.
Right. Well, And I think it's very telling because I've seen so many people interpret that different ways, because the way that I saw that look was Coulson looking at Fitz, and Fitz, you know, was just kind of cringing because he was giving Simmons a hug, but he knew and Coulson knew that he had just killed Will, basically.
Right.
I saw that as Coulson saying, it's okay, you did the right thing.
Will was dead or
whatever.
Long before that.
Right, exactly. And, you know, but him saying, hey guy, you're good, you did the right thing or whatever. Okay. I had other people that I talked to that were like, no, Coulson is totally possessed by the Hive. He's as infected as Ward is. And that was him, you know, like intimidating Fitz into not saying anything, and I totally didn't get that.
I think that's quite a stretch. I mean, it's pretty much established now that it only possesses the dead.
Right. I think there's you know, there's the fact that Coulson killed Ward, and there's the fact that no matter how you slice it, Will is not coming back. Will is dead. And whether it was, you know, he died a long time ago, Fitz was still the person that put him down. So I don't know how well Simmons is going to take that. I think that as far as Ward goes, I think that everybody is going to be high-fiving Phil and going, good job, man, you did the right thing.
I don't know. I kind of see May and Mac probably having a difference of opinion with him over that.
May was pretty unhappy with Ward.
Yeah, I just don't think she would necessarily advocate for killing him, but then again, I could be wrong.
But Ward was trying to kill her husband, right. So there's that. But yeah, we'll see. I think it was great. I think that what they've set up was, you know, we've had an awful lot of episodes, not so much this year, but over the course of S.H.I.E.L.D., where it was, you know, it was a bug hunt, it was a monster of the week, it was, you know, a self-contained plot line where this happens. And I think these two episodes were so good in terms of tying up loose threads and, you know, connecting things to the bigger picture in terms of, you know, what's going on with Hydra and S.H.I.E.L.D. and everything. So I feel like they really finished out the season, or the half season, on a very strong note.
Yeah.
So do you have any predictions for what's going to be coming up in the next half?
Well, I think obviously It and Gideon are going to be our big bads going forward for this season.
Mm-hmm.
I still think that Coulson killing Ward is going to cause a little bit of a division within the house. Obviously, mm-hmm. we'll have it all straightened out and everybody will be good buds by the end of the season. But
sure,
I think it's going to definitely cause some tension in the meantime. Hopefully now we can get back to, the USS Fitzsimmons.
Right.
With no other detours.
Bear in mind, this is a show that has a Whedon at the helm of it
until the end, and then probably one of them will die, and you know,
right?
It'll be like, you'll always be in my heart, always be with me, Wade.
Yeah,
which, I'm a little upset from Dollhouse about that happening, or Angel, or
yep.
Buffy, or pretty much anything.
Yep, Tara and And Wash and everybody that they've killed off. But I think that's definitely gonna be our big bad. I'm really looking forward and very much hoping that they're going to tie into the yes. Civil War story. With them bumping Agent Carter forward by a couple of weeks because of the State of the
Stupid
Union speech.
I know, right? President to give a speech.
Thanks, Obama. Yeah, exactly. But that means they're also having to bump back Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., so I'm thinking they're going to have to double up on some episodes or something because
Agent Carter is going to be a two-hour premiere.
Right, right. But I think it was going to be anyway. Regardless, I think they're probably going to have to double up somewhere, either with Agent Carter episodes or S.H.I.E.L.D. or whatever, to get it so that it's timed correctly for the release of the movie. At least that's, I'm hoping that it's going to be something that is, you know, it fits in together well with that.
Hold on, you don't hear silence,
but,
do
you? Nope.
All right.
Okay.
Warning, one of the dogs might start howling.
Okay. Well, we're getting close to done.
Okay.
So, okay. So, do you want to give separate ratings for the two episodes or just give one rating together?
I'm okay with separate.
Okay, so on a scale of 1 to 5 S.H.I.E.L.D.s, 1 being terrible and 5 being best episode ever, how would you rate the episode closure?
I would give it a 4. I think we really mm-hmm. go towards things strongly. Mm-hmm. It was kind of good to see that revelation of Ward. All right, excuse me.
Yep, I can hear that. I don't hear anything. Hello? Hello?
Yeah, sorry, I had to go tell her. It's something my roommate's girlfriend's dog, she had an ex that trained her to do that. When
ambulances
and sirens pass by.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so he's pretty much a dick.
All right, so on a scale of 1 to 5, with 1 being terrible and 5 being best episode ever, how would you rate the episode closure?
I would give it a 4. I think we built really well towards the mid-season finale. I think mm-hmm. we got to find out interesting things about Ward's psyche that we didn't know before, and of course the mm-hmm. revelation that it is all in his head, that he's the hero of his own story, because
right.
we get Thomas in, who can say, no, that's not true, none of that ever happened, you've been making
right.
up excuses to make yourself feel better.
Exactly. How about our season, mid-season
yeah,
finale?
With Mobitha, I'd give it maybe a 3.5. I think my expectations were raised by some
mm-hmm.
of the previews that I read beforehand. So it's like,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So what was it they were expecting?
I was expecting something like really big and shocking, and it was just kind of like,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I could kind of see these things coming a mile off.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, fair enough.
The only thing that was really kind of surprising to me the whole time was Will's not being Will.
Right. Fair enough. I'm going to go with a 3.5 for closure, because we started out with something that I felt like I could see her getting shot coming a mile away, and the middle part of it, I mean, it was a good episode, but then it ended with something that just, this was literally a picking up a pillow and throwing it at the TV moment for me, when Phil dives out of the airplane.
Yeah.
and that's not how physics works.
I love how one thing I read basically said, he's lucky that he didn't become a Phil Coulson splatter on that planet.
Exactly. And it was just cool to me, because you see him jump out of the airplane and you see Ward and Malik sort of turn back towards the camera, and then you see vroom, vroom, just this blur go by, and they kind of turn around like, did something just happen? And it just was, for me, I have to knock a point off for that, because that was just super dumb and just took me completely out of the moment. It's a hard call with the last one. I think I'm gonna give it a 4. I had seen a poster on a French site during that day, and had asked somebody, do you know if this is fan art or not? But it was Ward standing there, basically about to like shoot fireballs out of his hands or something. And the person I was talking to said, no, that's official concept art from the show. And so there was a part of me that went into it going, oh my god, is Ward going to be throwing fireballs? Because that would be
fireball,
awesome.
Fireball.
Exactly. Magic missile. So I was expecting that. I think that what they ended up doing was really good. I'm super happy that they managed to find an ending for that episode that, because there was no way in hell that Phil was going to leave that planet without killing Ward. That was a thing that just absolutely character-wise had to happen.
But, you know, if he let
but him, at the same time...
We wouldn't have a problem. But then again, we wouldn't have another half of the season.
Exactly. But there was no way that you could be true to Coulson's character and have him not kill Ward. But at the same time, I was like, I really would hate to lose Ward as a bad guy, because he's a great guy. And so I was very happy that they were able to pull that together and make that work. And in fact, I'm going to go ahead and bump it up to a 4.5. So 3.5 for closure and 4.5 for the last one, because they were able to do that. I was drawn in enough to that episode that I wasn't analyzing. I wasn't thinking. I had a giant stack of finals to be graded, and I wasn't even thinking about that. So I got completely snowed by Will being not Will. Totally did not see that coming. Totally did not make the connection that the sandstorm started and he started, you know, killing people off. I thought he was just taking advantage of the situation to try and save Fitz. But, I got to go with a 4.5 for that.
All right.
Cool. All right. Well, we are going to be, we've got, what, like 4 or 5 weeks now before Agent Carter starts up at the end of January. So we're still sort of figuring out what we're going to be doing, but we're definitely going to be talking about Jessica Jones, and we're definitely going to have some kind of a sort of looking back and looking forward episode as to, you know, sort of recapping 2015, all the things that have happened, and seeing what's coming up. So you will be getting a couple more episodes before Agent Carter comes back on, but it will be a surprise as to when they come out.
Jessica Jones, I think I'm going to need a teddy bear to hold on to or something.
Seriously. I got to say, when I was watching that, other people were like, I'm going to binge the whole thing. And I'm like, you need to not do that because...
People have had those kind of problems in their lives go like, oh crap,
yeah,
this is one that's gonna take me a while.
Yeah, and I had to watch it a little bit at a time, but to hear more about that, you'll have to wait for our episode, which will be coming up in a few weeks. Don't know where that's gonna fall holiday-wise, but to those of our listeners celebrating the Festival of Lights, happy Hanukkah to you, and happy Yule, happy Christmas, happy anything that you're celebrating this at this time, and we will see you back sometime before the end of this year.
Earth Station MCU's cover art is designed by Dr. Ansley Simmons, our logo is by Mr. Mike Faber, and our show is produced by me, Jennifer Hartshorn. We would like to thank all of our listeners and all of the online groups that let us promote our episodes, including Marvel Cinematic Universe, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Cosplayers, Welcome to Level 7, the DragonCon American Sci-Fi Group, the other Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and Metro Atlantic Geeks on Facebook, as well as Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Marvel's MCU, and Marvel's Agent Carter on G+. Visit our webpage at earthstationmcu.wordpress.com or join the conversation on our Facebook group, Earth Station MCU.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek. Classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at ESONetwork.com. This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek. Classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at ESONetwork.com.